This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, as the worldwide coronavirus pandemic continues to spread with no end in sight, there is one reality that has not escaped the minds of most of us. And that is what we are hearing of every single day, rather every single hour, of the number of deaths in the hundreds and the thousands. This is a reality that is inescapable for any human being, but it is a reality that we don't think about much. But rather, it is a reality that only comes and hits us most times in times of calamities like the times we're living in today. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. Allah says, and we have not made for any human being before you, O Muhammad, eternity. No human being will live on forever. أَفَا إِمِّتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. So if you die, will they live on forever? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every single soul will taste death. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةِ. And we will try you with good and evil as a test. ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And then, to us, to Allah, will you all return. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the problem is not our knowledge of this reality, because each and every single one of us knows that eventually our time is coming. But the problem is that we are heedless of this reality. We live on our lives, heedless, not thinking about this reality, always thinking about our present situation, that we're alive. So let us make the most of our lives, not thinking of that eventual reality that each and every single one of us is destined for. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, it is our heedlessness, not our knowledge of this reality. And that's why, after death, and on the Day of Judgment, Allah tells us that this is how we lived our lives. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You were heedless of this day, of the Day of Judgment. You are heedless of death and what comes after death. فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ. So today, we have removed that veil of heedlessness from you. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. And so your sight on this day is sharp. There's no obscurity. There's no heedlessness. Whereas in this dunya, concerning the akhirah, concerning death and what comes after death, it's as if we're wearing glasses that are blurred, that can't see that reality. And so on that day, Allah tells us that He will remove those glasses and our sight will be sharp on that day. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, wherever you may be, most of you, if not all of you, have heard of someone you knew who has met their fate due to this virus. Most of us, if not all of us, have heard of people we knew whose time has come. And that's it. They're gone. These same people, none of them had expected that their lives would come to an end so soon. Just like me and you today. We don't have that on our minds. We think we're going to live on till the age of 60, 70, 80 years old. Not realizing that the time of death is not something in my hands or your hands. The knowledge of it is not with us. But rather, it is something that Allah has already written. And it could come today, it could come tomorrow. It could come in a few days. It could come next month. It could come before the year's end. It could come because of this virus. Or it could come through any other way. And so, it's coming closer to home. And many people are starting to become anxious, are starting to become afraid. As we hear the tolls and the number of deaths increasing, just yesterday, in Canada, it was a few handful. And then it reached 100, 200, 300. And now it's more than 500. South of the border, it has reached in the tens of thousands. And around the world, it is about to reach 100,000. Why is it that now we are afraid of death? Why is it that now most of us have that on our minds? But not only that, but why is it that most of us are now afraid? Why is it that we are fearful of death? It's because of either one of two reasons. Either because we don't believe in what comes after death. And so the kuffar and those who don't believe in life after death, they're afraid because they don't know what's going to happen to them. They're clueless. And even some Muslims, unfortunately, it's not that they don't believe, but that their belief is weak. They don't have the yaqeen that a Muslim must have concerning what comes after death, concerning the akhirah and everything in the akhirah. Or the second reason is because we believe. And we're also convinced and we're certain and we have yaqeen of what comes after death. But we're not ready for it. We're not ready to meet that reality. We know that Jannah is real. We know that the hellfire is real. We know that the punishment of Allah is there after death. And we're certain about it. But because of the way we are living our lives, we're afraid to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state that we're currently in. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, what's wrong with us is not our knowledge of death and what comes after death. We're certain of it. But the problem is we're not ready. Why are we not ready? The reason is because of the way we're living our lives. It's because of our heedlessness. It's because of our attachment to the dunya and what we have in this life. It's because we want to please our desires, our hawa, and the desires of our nafs. It's because of the dunya and its glitter and its beauty and it attracting us to it. It's because of shaitan and the way he entraps us. It's because we don't want to let go of our ways. We don't want to change, even though we know that this is in our best interests. We don't want to change our ways, even though we know where it's going to lead us to. It's because our himmah, our determination, the level of our determination to change is at its lowest levels. Many of us, we think we can't change. We think that's it. This is the way I am. And that's it. Let me live as I am. Even though we know where this will lead us to. Thus is our fear. Not because we don't believe in what comes after death. No, we know. But because of the way we have lived our lives. And because we think, and because shaitan has made us to believe that we can't change. That is where the problem lies. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that not all of us are the same. And so yes, some of us are afraid, while others know they're not afraid, but rather they look forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man ahabba liqa'a Allahi, ahabba Allahu liqa'a." That whoever loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet that person, meaning whoever looks forward to that day in which he will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also looks forward to that day. And this is only for the true believer. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. And whoever dislikes meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah also dislikes to meet him. And so the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Does this mean fearing death? Does it mean disliking death? All of us dislike death. Who doesn't hate to die? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no, but rather this refers to the believer who, when he is given the glad tidings of the mercy of Allah and the reward that awaits him in the Akhirah, then he loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, the disbeliever, when he hears of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that awaits him at the time of death, he hates to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he knows what awaits him. It was once said to a Bedouin. It was once said to a Bedouin, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ, that you're going to die. So he said, وَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. He said, so what's the big deal? What comes after death? And so they said, تَذْهَبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, you're going to Allah. And so he said in response, وَهَلْ جَاءَنَا الْخَيْرُ إِلَّا مِنَ اللَّهِ, hasn't all good that has come to us, isn't it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so why should I hate meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I know that whatever good has touched me in this dunya, it is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so, my dear brothers and sisters, what we learn from this is that the believer, he is optimistic at all times, and especially when he nears death. He has good hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He looks forward to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He looks forward to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that awaits him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those believers. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa al-dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un, wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin wa khati'ah, fastaghfiruhu innahu kana ghaffara, wa tubu ilayhi innahu kana tawwaba. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. فاتقوا الله عباد الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين. My dear brothers and sisters, the problem is not about death and about dying, but rather the problem is in which state do we want to die? In which state do we want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so those who have been afflicted with this illness and this virus, they're actually far better off than most of us. Why? Because at least this for them was a chance to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those who among them have been told that they're not gonna see many more days ahead of them, at least they can prepare themselves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for most of us, we won't have that chance. And so for those who think that such calamities, or they wonder about the wisdom of Allah in such calamities, why would Allah afflict the believers with such a calamity? Then this is just one example of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just one example of how through such calamities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually doing good for you. This is just one example of how through such calamities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being merciful towards you. And so for most people, they won't have that chance. But rather, for most people, death will come to them when they least expect it. Death will come to them when they're not ready, when they're not prepared. And that's why we fear this reality. My dear brothers and sisters, these days we're being told to act as if every single one of us is infected by the virus. Why? Because this will help to put an end to its spread. Because if each and every single one of us acts as if he has it, he'll stay at home, he'll take all the precautionary measures to not pass it on to others. Likewise, each and every single one of us has to act as if our appointed time has come. Every single one of us from this day forward has to act as if our death is near, that it's only a matter of a few moments. We don't have much time. And so with that in mind, there are a few things that each and every single one of us needs to keep in mind. Getting ready for death. The first thing is that each and every single one of us has to start by writing our will. How many of us have thought about that before? Most of us have not written a will. We think that writing a will is only for old people, who they can die at any moment. But no, we need to write our will from today. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that it's not permissible for the Muslim who has something to will, to bequest, for him to delay and sleep for even 2 nights without having written his will. And so he should write it, and he should keep it with him. The first thing that we should write in our will is advising those who are closest to us, our spouses, our children. Advise them with the best wasiyah, with the best will, and that is to advise them with taqwa. And then to advise them to live lives of righteousness and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, after that, to write down anything that you owe somebody. You may have borrowed some money. Write it down so that it is known that you owe this money to so and so. So that if you die, those who pick up your will and read it, they know that they should take from your money and return it to those people. Then, if you have a lot of money, or you have possession of property or anything else, and you want it to be given in charity to others, then write it in your will, but make sure that you don't exceed a third of your wealth. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us from doing so. Why? Because our heirs, those who will inherit from us, they have a right to your wealth, and so you cannot give it all away. After that, for those of us who are living in the West and we have to buy a grave because the costs are very expensive, then put your money and invest it in the various associations that we have that deal with this. Secondly, fix up your relations with your family members, your relatives, your Muslim brothers and sisters. Fix those relations today before a day comes when you will not be able to fix them. And return the rights of those who you harmed, those who you wronged, those who you did injustice to. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever has done something wrong to his Muslim brother in his honor, meaning he spoke ill of him in his dignity, or in his wealth, meaning he may have stole something from him, then let him to go and return it to him today, before a day comes when he won't have a single dinar nor a single dirham. And so seek forgiveness from your brothers and your sisters. Ask them to pardon you. And if you have something that you owe them, something that you took unjustly, return it to them. Thirdly, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a sincere and honest tawbah, in a sincere and honest repentance, a repentance that comes from deep down inside your heart for all of those sins that you committed in your life, and especially the major sins, because there is no way for the major sins to be forgiven except through a tawbah. As for those sins that are related to the rights of others, then as we said, you have to return those rights. And so even if you ask Allah to forgive you, it's not enough. You have to still return those rights, because tawbah, that Allah forgives, is that between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rights of Allah. As for the rights of others, then you have to return those rights to them. And so turn to Allah in sincere repentance today before it's too late. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب قال إني تبت الآن and tawbah is not accepted. For the one who persistently sins and commits sins throughout his life, and then, when death comes, he says, "O Allah, now I repent." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that repentance is available to us before two things happen. Either the soul is coming out from the body, or the sun rises from the west. And so a sincere tawbah is one in which you regret your past. You regret deep down from inside your heart for committing these sins. And then you stop them immediately. Not that you're persisting in these sins while asking Allah for forgiveness. And thirdly, that you make the determination, the intention, that from today onwards, you will never, ever go back to those sins ever again. Fourthly, change your ways today. Change your ways from today. Open up a new chapter in your life, not from tomorrow, not from next week, not from next month. Don't delay it for a day that you may never see, but rather start from today, because your past is behind you. It's of no use to you. Your future is not in your hands. But what is in your hands is your present. What is in your hands is today, not a day that has gone by, nor a day that may never come. And so change yourself from today before it's too late. And finally, keep your tongue constantly moving with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep your tongue constantly moving with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." That whoever his last words in this dunya were "la ilaha illallah," then he has entered Jannah. Jannah is guaranteed for such a person. And so, coming back to the question of what state do you want to die in? If you want to die in a good state, then be among those who remember Allah frequently with their hearts and their tongues. And this is an advice that we give. This is why we advise those who are on their deathbeds. If you have a relative or a friend who may be in the hospital right now with the virus, and he may be with a ventilator, and he may not know whether he is going to breathe his last, advise him to say these words from his heart, "La ilaha illallah." For whoever's last words are these words, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has guaranteed for them Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep each and every single one of us safe and sound, to keep each and every single one of us healthy, and to keep each and every single one of us constantly remembering the reality of death. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those who prepare for that day before it's too late. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among those whose last words are "La ilaha illallah." هَذَا وَصَلُّوا وَسَلِّمُوا رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهِ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ كما أمركم بذلك ربكم جل في علاه فقال تعالى قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد، وارض اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين، وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من البرص والجذام والجنون ومن سيء الأسقام. اللهم ادفع عنا الوباء والغلاء والزلازل والمحن وسوء الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. يا حي يا قيوم، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. And if you're watching this right now live from home, then make sure that you pray 4 rak'ahs of dhuhr and not Salatul Jumu'ah. You've only listened to the khutbah for the sake of a reminder. And so, pray dhuhr with your family at home. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.